He's in the Lord.
Yes,
in Senla. And in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, my Father. We enter your gates with thanksgiving, my Father. And we come unto your courts with praise. You are mighty God, Lord. There's none like you, my Father, in all the earth, Lord. Hallelujah. For how great you are, my Father. And we thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy that endureth forever, my Father. What a mighty God you are. We give you the highest praise. Hallelujah, Father. And Father, as we come through this radio broadcast, Father, to the holy place, my Father, where we assemble together, Lord, to hear your word, Father, we come past this radio station broadcast, past the gates of thanksgiving, or let me say it the right way, through the gates of thanksgiving, through the courts of praise, through this radio broadcast, all the way behind the veil that was torn in two when Jesus Christ died upon the cross, indicating that we can come all the way into your very presence, my Father, without any sense of guilt or condemnation. For you have pointed unto us the scepter of righteousness, my Father, your authority that calls us to be righteous, the righteousness of Christ Jesus, my Father. Therefore, Father, in his righteousness, we come all the way into your presence, my Father. And we would ask, Lord, that you would speak to each and every one of our hearts in words of love and comfort, my Father, whether it's in rebuke or reproof or correction or instruction, even in chastening, my Father. For them who you love, you chasten, my Father. And we would ask that you would fill us with the knowledge of your will, not our will, your kingdom, not our kingdom. Fill us with the knowledge of your will, your kingdom, Father, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that we might know you, not of you, not about you, or not just of you and not just about you, but know you, Father, and know you in the power of the resurrected Christ, my Father. My Lord, here's our cup. Here's our lives. Here's our spirits. Here's our soul. Here's our mind. Here's our body. Here's our heart, Lord. Fill us up, my Father, with your grace and your mercy, Father. And as in always, we are careful to give you all of the credit, all of the praise. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever, in the matchless name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ, Father. Amen, amen, and amen. Hey, mighty men, mighty women of the Most High God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, what an honor it is to come together with all of you all who are under the sound of my voice and just feast at the king's table. You know, there's a parable in the Bible where it says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who, a king, gave a great banquet for his son. And he told him, go out and invite everybody to come to the banquet. Hallelujah. They're talking about God inviting everybody to a banquet that he given for his son. Hallelujah. To come and feast at the king's table. Thank God for the spiritual food that we get from the servant's table. Lord, when we come together and worship, hallelujah, in our Bible studies and our Sunday worship service, Father, but this is just a little bit different, my Father. You said the kingdom of heaven is like a king. That's you. That's the Most High God who invited everybody to come and eat at the king's table. Feast at the king's table. Can you imagine that? Boy coming at a banquet, boy that is invited by the Most High God. A banquet for his son. Hallelujah. That boy, he invited all of us to come and feast at the king's table. Hallelujah. What an honor. And what a privilege to eat the king's food. Hello. See what, brother? Eat the king's food. Hallelujah. What that simply means is, man, listen, God wants to speak to every last one of our hearts, collectively and individually. Most important, individually. Because collectively, we just come together for an hour on our radio broadcast, an hour in Bible study, 2 or 3 hours in Sunday service. But that's collectively. But individually, that's 24/7. Hallelujah. David said it in a way like this, Psalm 91. He who dwells, that means abides and live in the secret place. That's a secret place. What secret place? The secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the protection of the Almighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's 24/7. The personal relationship is 24/7. Corporate relationship is just a few hours during the week. However, that personal relationship, that's 24/7. But you can commune with God all day, every day. The Bible says man ought always to pray. Always. If you understood that, man, you don't have to get on your knees. You can always be conscious that your Father, the Most High God, is always with you. It don't matter where you are, where you go or what. He's always with you. He promised something. He said, if you would open up the door to your heart and let me in, he said, listen, I'll come in and I'll commune with you and I'll sup with you, I'll eat with you, and I will never leave you. And I will never forsake you. Can you imagine that? That God is in us. That the Most High God is in us. And not only is he in us, he promised not to never leave us nor forsake us. Oh, that's awesome. Now, God not slack concerning his promises. If he said it, he's going to do it. If he spoke it, he's going to come to pass. And through his exceeding great and precious promises, the Bible says that we can partake of his divine nature and escape all the corruptions of this world. Hallelujah. That's why David said again, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God can abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You can say of the Lord that he's your refuge, he's your fortress, he's your God. It don't matter. It don't matter, boy, in that place, it don't matter what's going on around you. It don't matter what the deal is. It don't matter what state you might be in, boy. As you become more and more conscious of the presence of the Most High God with you 24/7, you won't worry about nothing. Listen, if you knew beyond any shadow of a doubt that your Heavenly Father is with you, hallelujah, not only with you, but in you, you wouldn't worry about nothing. I'm going to say it again. If you knew that you knew that you knew beyond any shadow of a doubt that your Father in heaven is with you, you won't worry about nothing. I'm going to say it one more time. Can you imagine this? The Most High God with you. Wheresoever you go, 24/7. Who? God, your Father in heaven. With you and in you, 24/7. And you wouldn't worry about nothing. So why are we worried? Because sometimes we lose conscience of that. Sometimes you know that we forget that. Sometimes even we take that even for granted. But boy, if you knew that you knew that you knew that you knew, and you can know that, you can know that you know that you know. And what? That man, I'm talking about the Most High God with you. And boy, the more you become aware of that, and you got to practice that, boy, the awareness of the presence of God in your life. I told you, you won't worry about nothing. Why? Because he's our Father. That word Father is Abba. That's source and sustainer. the source of our lives, and the one who will sustain our lives. Hallelujah. Let me say it in a less simple way. Lord, our Father, He got us. He got us. And Lord, we need to know that, and we need to know in the shadow of a doubt that, man, He got you. He got you. It don't matter when, if you're on the mountaintop or the valley low. It don't matter if you're a picture of health or you might be sick in your body and afflicted, you know. It don't matter, man, whether you have $1 billion or whether you have a quarter. It don't, none of that don't matter. It don't matter if the whole world come against you, man. It don't matter. Well, you know that God is with you and in you, and He is with you and in you. He's with us and in us to be for us whatever we have need of Him to be, anytime we have need of Him to be, whatever we have need of Him to be. That's what He in there for. He said, come boldly into my presence and come be aware that my presence is with you. Why? So that you can obtain mercy and find grace to help you in your time of trouble. But that is, boy, that's God with you. And He's with you, man, to be for you whatever you need, like I said, boy, very present help. And it's also not only that, so that you can obtain, find, good God of mine, obtain grace and find mercy. Obtain mercy and find grace. Either way, man, listen, in your time of need. Let me tell you something, boy, the grace of God and the mercy of God. The Bible says, boy, they are renewed every day. Listen, in that place, goodness and mercy follow you everywhere you go. What? Goodness and mercy follow you everywhere you go. One of the most important things that our Father wants us to come to the awareness of and the consciousness of and know that, man, is our relationship with Him, man. Understand it. To come to the understanding of that relationship and the purpose for that relationship and the purpose for your whole relationship that you have with your Father in heaven. That's a purpose for that. That's a purpose for His calling. That's a purpose for, you know, you in this life. That's a purpose for your relationship with your Most High God. And man, the only way you can know that purpose, you got to commune with Him. You got to fellowship with Him. You got to do just like Adam and Eve were doing in the garden in Genesis chapter 2. But they were walking and talking with God in the cool of the day. Unbroken fellowship. Can you imagine that? Walking and talking with God every day. Unbroken fellowship. No sin, no condemnation. Just righteousness. Right standing with God. Just being holy. Just being like Him. Same character, same nature. Same functioning ability, same likeness. Just like Him. Created in His image and His likeness. Just like Him. I ain't talking about a Godhead of yourself. Ain't talking about, some people get it all mixed up, man. You know, I feel like, hey, man, we can't be like God. We can't be no God. No, you can't be God. You can't be Almighty God. But you definitely, man, are and can be a little G God, a little offspring of God. Same thing as a child of God. They're the same thing. Listen, man, I don't want you to misunderstand me when I say we just like God and you're a little God and mighty man. I ain't talking about a God and a mighty man and a child of God in and of yourself. You can't be that. But you are a little God in your Father, in the Most High God. Now, if you try to be a God, man, all by yourself, then you declare independence from Him. And when you declare independence from Him, that's what Adam did. God created Adam in His image and His likeness and told him to become just like me in character and nature. Multiply, have a whole lot of y'all, just like you. All everybody's in you. And fill the earth subdue it, and make it on your territory just like it is in my territory. Listen, you can't do and be all that without God. He's your source and sustainer. That's what Adam did. The Adam then tried to be God man by himself without God. He tried to be man in the image and likeness of God without God. He tried to be all that God told him he was man without God. He declared independence from God when he rebelled against the known will of God and ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He was declaring independence. The devil deceived him into thinking that he could be a God all by himself and that he can accomplish all that God, man, said about him, man, by himself, in and of himself, that he would be a God himself. When I say you're a little bitty God, I ain't talking about a little bitty God yourself. I'm talking about you're a little bitty God in God. You got to be in God to be a God. And you can't be him, but you definitely, man, can be like him in character, in nature, and in likeness. Why? Because that's how he created you. I don't care what nobody say. That's what his word say. I don't care about nobody's opinion of that. That's what his word say. Let's make mankind in our image, in our likeness. That's character and nature. And likeness is, let them function like me. You know how God function? God function by faith in his word. What do you say? In his likeness, that means man to live like him. How he live? He live by faith. He functioned by faith. How do you want us to function the same way? By faith in his word. What word? He say, Adam, be just like me. Be fruitful. Be multiplied. Replenish your race, man. Good. How function you do that? I just believe that and act on that. Faith in that. Faith in what? What I say. Hallelujah. Function like that. Act like that. Because you are of my character and my nature. That's what I mean when I be saying, man, little gods, or you are God. Some people get it mixed up and think, I'm telling you, man, you are God. No. You ain't no God independent of God. You a little G God. The devil made Adam and Eve think that they could be a capital G God, that they could be God, that they could be another God, just like the Most High God. No, they can't be, man, another God like the Most High God, independent of God. That's why, man, we got to commune with him. That's why we got to fellowship with him. Because the only way we can accomplish that God-given purpose and destiny that he has for our lives is in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say that again, brother. Listen, man. God wants you to be, man, just like him. He created you just like him. Hallelujah. And he wants us to be just like him, to talk just like him, to act just like him, to live just like him, to think just like him, to be just like him. Boy, how hard is it, my man, maintaining, man, your communion and your fellowship with him? As long as Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden and walking and talking with God in the cool of the day, 24/7, forever in his presence, then they can accomplish what God created them to accomplish. As long as they was in that place, in the Garden of Eden, like I told you, in the presence of the Lord, everything was all right. Everything was all right in that place. It didn't become chaotic until Adam and Eve, man, got driven from the Garden of Eden. But they did, they declared independence from God. They tried to be man, all that man without God, where God told them to be without God. And when they did that, man, all hell broke loose. And instead of being on earth like it is in heaven, it's on earth like it is here now. But boy, that's a good news, man. Even in Adam's disobedience, even in Adam's rebellion, man. Let me tell you something. The grace of God didn't just start there when Jesus Christ came to the earth. The fullness of the grace of God came, man, when Jesus Christ came to the earth. But the grace of God, man, was in, man, Genesis, man, from the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 3. When Adam and Eve just sinned and they tried and rebelled against God and declared independence from God, and, man, let me tell you something, they realized that they was naked. Today, what do you mean naked? Today was without man. They are so self-sustained. And boy, they tried to fix it themselves. They tried to save themselves. They tried to cover themselves up, man, you know, themselves. But God, in his grace and his mercy, hallelujah, he clothed them. He provided, man, a clothing for them. And it cost a life. And it cost blood to be shed, a life. That's what the blood is. It indicates a life. And through that blood, man, that was shed of that animal, boy, God took the skin of that animal and clothed them himself. What do you mean? He saved them. He covered them. But with that, boy, that's God's grace way back in the beginning. You know, when Adam and Eve them declared independence from God and got put out of the Garden of Eden, and man, now they no longer in the season of innocence, no condemnation. And man, listen, they're not led by the Spirit of God no more, man. They led by their own spirit, their own mind, their own consciousness. It's called a season of consciousness. That lasted from the fall of Adam, man, all the way, man, to the flood. What happened during that time from the fall of Adam all the way up until the flood? Man was living according to his conscience. And boy, his conscience got so seared and so independent of God till it was only that they could imagine was evil. I could even imagine what it was like in that time. Boy, there's no law or nothing, man, you know, just consciousness. They kill somebody, and hey, ain't nothing happened. Boy, what? Boy, it got so bad, man, till where, man, God, he repented God that he made man, the Bible say. And boy, he wiped everybody off the face of the earth through that fluid. But his grace was always there. His grace was there, man, when Abel, man, brought the sacrifice to God. You know the story, man, Cain and Abel. Abel brought a sacrifice, man, a blood sacrifice. Cain brought, man, some vegetables. No blood in that. No life in that. And God accepted, man, Abel's offering. Hallelujah. And that preserved, man, you know, him. That preserved the lineage. Hallelujah. Hey, watch. And then, man, it got so seared in the consciousness of man till, like I told you, repented God, they made man, and then God caused the flood to come up on the earth. You know the story. The Bible say, but Noah found grace in the sight of God. What Noah found? Grace. I told you, grace came, man, at the fall, man. That's the love of God for his family. And grace has been here ever since. It was grace all down through time and all down through ages and all down through seasons and all down to, man, the history of mankind. It was always God, man. It was always our source and sustainer, man, that's been watching over us, man, from the foundation of the world, man. I told you, he said he'll never leave us and forsake us. During that time, he couldn't live in us no more. He was in us in one Genesis 1 and 2, but, man, sure, we lost there. He can't live in no unclean temple. So when Adam sinned, man, hey, listen, man, the Holy Spirit left, then they got put out of the presence of God, that's Eve. And then they began to be on their own. And it got so bad, like I told you, that he repented God that he made them, and he wiped them out the face of the earth. But Noah found grace. And God preserved Noah and his family. Wow, what was that? That was grace. That was the grace of God. That was the love of God. That was the mercy of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even, man, after man, you know, Noah in that season in time where God, after Noah, man, came, God set up a human government. So I can't just let them live any kind of way now. They just live any kind of way according to their consciousness without any, man, you know, without, man, something happening about that, then they're going to continue to live any kind of way again and end up the same way. So God, man, gave them laws to live by. That's human government. At that time, man, let me tell you something, boy, the death penalty was out there then. Hey, man, if you kill, you will be killed. By laws. And it's still there even to this day, the laws that we live by now. Why, so that we just can't do anything and everything and just get away with it. Now, God set up human government, man, during the time of Noah, all the way up to Abraham. What was that, boy? That was the grace of God, man, preserving man through his laws, through human government. Boy, let me tell you something. Then the next thing came, the next major character in the Bible, you know, is Abraham. Hallelujah. But even you, that's when God, man, said, hey, listen, through the human government, man, listen, they spread abroad, and you know the story. They spread abroad. They had different languages. That's the beginning of different nations and different ethnic groups and everything else during that time, man, and different laws in each ethnic group, man, and each nation and each kingdom that was set up on the earth during that time, man. Therefore, let me tell you something. Even in that time, man, they begin to come up with their own visions, their own concepts of even what, man, God is and God is like in the worship of God. Their own, man, ideas of how to try and appease a deity or a God in order to obtain from him his grace and his mercy. But God reminded him of something, man, you know, in Abraham. He said, listen, you know, remember I promised y'all in Adam when I told that devil that the seed of the woman was going to come and bruise his head? Head there is authority. In other words, boy, he going to bruise, I'm going to bruise your head, Satan. I'm going to take, Adam and Eve gave you the authority and the dominion that I gave them in the earth to dominate this earth and make it on earth like it is in heaven. You stole their dominion from them. You deceived them and tricked them out of their dominion. But I promise you something. Boy, that's the first promise and the first prophecy. See, I promise you something. That same woman who you deceived, through her going to come a seed. Through her going to come another one. Hallelujah. And he going to take back the authority that you have stole from my family. And not only is he going to take it back, but he's going to restore it back to them. That was a promise. And when he restored it back to them, then they're going to be able to come back into my presence again, back into the Garden of Eden, and man, continue on the journey and the destiny that I set for their lives. What journey and destiny was that again, Arthur? To be in his image and to be in his likeness and to dominate this earth. Hallelujah. For what purpose, Arthur? So that it might be in our territory, the earth, just like it is in his territory. Glory to God. So, boy, listen, after human government was set up in that season, and even going on until this day, we still operate under human government. But, boy, let me tell you something. Human government got so bad, till like I told you, boy, they got all kind of, they start worshiping all kind of gods. They start committing idolatry, idols. When God said, there ain't going to be nothing. Listen, fix this in your heart. I'm God. There's nothing like me. Ain't no other God. But they start worshiping other gods. But even in their worship of other gods, boy, let me tell you something, man. God's word gonna stand. God, man, reminded them of the promise. That's why he called Abraham and told Abraham, hey, Abraham, come out from among men this idol worship. Worship of other gods. Out to a land that I will show you that's flowing with milk and honey. That was a reminder, man, to let mankind know and us through the word of God that God's promise and God's grace, man, let me tell you something, it's extended, man, from the beginning of the fall all the way for all eternity. So in, man, Abraham's, man, in the story of Abraham and the right of Abraham in your Bible, man, that's a promise. He called it the promised land. Hallelujah. Hey, you know, and God told him, you know the story, come out from among your family and your familiarity and the idol worship, and man, come on into a land and a place that I will show you. That was a type and a shadow of the Garden of Eden, of the promised land that God told Adam and Eve, man, that I promise you something, one, that I'm going to redeem your life from this destruction that you entered into, and I'm going to restore you back to your rightful place in me. Hallelujah, and I'm going to bring you back into the Garden of Eden. I promise you that. But that's the promised land. The land over there in Israel, what they're fighting over there, that's just a type and shadow of the real promised land, more the Garden of Eden. What's the Garden of Eden? More the kingdom of heaven on earth, the dwelling place of God on earth, the place where God dwells at on earth. It was on the spot for a moment with an open door to it, into a delightful place, the literal presence of the Most High God. That's why I told you, boy, if you know, man, that you have been restored back to that place that Adam and Eve had in God before they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you wouldn't worry about nothing. Man, Adam and Eve wouldn't worry about nothing when they were in the presence of the Lord. It wasn't, like I said, until they got, man, separated from the presence of the Lord, where all hell broke loose in their life and they begin to kill one another and hate one another and all of the chaos that's in this world today. It wasn't until then, but boy, I tell you, boy, man, God promised him something, man. I'm going to bring you back to this place. Even though your sins and your will for disobedience separated for you from this place, yet my counsel going to stand. My word going to stand. Ain't nothing more powerful than my word. Ain't nothing that the devil could do. Your disobedience, nothing else can't alter the word that had gone forth out of my mouth. What word went forth out of his mouth? Let's make mankind just like us. I told you, you're a little God. And let's give them dominion. And watch, man, the only way they get a copy of that, man, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, God brought us down from him, who spirit beings just like him, little G God, and formed a body from the earth, why, so that we could live in, so that we could have dominion on the earth. Then the Bible said, God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. And man became what? A living soul. What God did, boy? God brought us down from hell. But the little G God has created his image in his life. And he formed a body for us to live in from the earth. Why? So that we could have dominion over the earth. So that we could have an earth suit to reign and rule and reign in this earth. Then he breathed into that earth suit, that body. He breathed into that body, boy, the spirit of man that's created in the image and likeness of the Most High God with a mind, a heart. That's in the Hebrew, that's the word heart means mind. But the mind, a will, emotions, attitudes, in a physical body. And he called that man human. What's human? Human come from two words. Humus, H-U-M-A-S, and man, M-A-N. What's humus? Humus is earthy. What's man? Man is spirit. So what is a human? A human is a spirit that lives in an earthen vessel. Talking about spiritual knowledge and spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. I ain't talking about man, mankind's definition of human. I'm talking about, boy, what a human really is in the heart and mind of God. That's God's little child living in a physical body to dominate this physical earth, to reign in this physical earth, man, on God's behalf. Not independent from God, but, boy, in and through God, on God's behalf, to accomplish God's intent, God's plan, God's purpose, God's desire for our lives. That's why Jesus prayed and said, when you pray, pray this way, that God's kingdom come. His intent, his original intent, his original desire, his original will, his original plan, his original purpose for our life. Pray that that come back. Pray that that come. What? His kingdom, his way of doing things, his domain, his presence, and his will. But thy kingdom come and thy will be done. Well, on earth. How? Just like it is in heaven. When the kingdom come back. And God's original will and intent and desire, man, come back to the knowledge of mankind. Because down through time, that was lost. And the first thing Jesus said, boy, when you make your petition to God, and when you commune with God, when you come back into that place after you cleanse from all your unrighteousness, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, then let your petition be this, Lord. Father, let your kingdom come back in my life. And let what your will for my life be. How? Just like it is in heaven. When your kingdom come back. And listen, 2,000 years ago, man, Jesus Christ came, and man, that's what he brought back to the earth. What he brought back to the earth, boy? The kingdom of God. And the original will, the knowledge of the original will and intent and purpose of God. And you know what he was preaching? That's what he was preaching. That kingdom, that promised land, man, that the story of Abraham, man, all the way up until Moses, was a type and shadow of. Yeah, I come to bring that back. He is here. And not only did I come to bring it back, the Garden of Eden, the secret place of the Most High God, that ark of safety that Noah was in. Hey, boy, not only did I come to bring it back, man, I come to cleanse you up from all your unrighteousness. Just like God provided, man, a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice for Adam, man, and covered him up. Just like Cain provided a blood sacrifice, man, for the atonement of his sin. Just like Noah, them, when they came out of the ark of the covenant, man, they provided a sacrifice, man, a blood sacrifice, man, that covered all their sins. Just like Abraham, went up and provided a blood sacrifice. He was going to take his son up there. You remember the story. But boy, God provided a lamb, man, a sacrifice. That's God's grace, like I tell you, man, all down through time, all down through ages, man. That's God's love. That's God's kindness. That's God's mercy. That's God's doing, not our doing. There ain't nothing that got nothing. It's God's doing. I'm talking the kingdom of God. Listen, I use these terms, you know, all the time. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. They have two different meanings. The kingdom of God is what God is doing. The kingdom of heaven, that's meant all the attributes of heaven. All that heaven consists of his dwelling place, man. And you can't even imagine what that must be like. I ain't seen, and I hear they heard, nor has it entered into our hearts. Boy, all them good things that heaven consists of. And boy, Jesus Christ, say, listen, I come to bring back, man, hey, listen, what God is doing, his original intent, his original plan, his original purpose and desire for your life. What's that? The kingdom of God. What God is doing and God's ways of doing what he's doing, his ways of doing what he's doing. And when, boy, we come to the knowledge of what God is doing and get in on his ways of doing what he's doing, then all of the kingdom of heaven, man, can begin to be manifested in our lives. He already. Not the fullness of it, but it can begin to be developed, man, in our lives, just like it begun to be developed in Adam and Eve's life, man, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. They never got to the fullness of it, but it begun in their lives in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, and God was walking and talking with them in the cool of the day. And Jesus Christ said, I come to bring that back. Now, boy, you can get back on course toward the destiny that God has for your life, and you can start becoming. Right? You ain't reached the fullness yet. Ain't none of us reached the fullness yet, but we becoming. There's going to come a day, man, when we all reach the fullness, but we haven't arrived there yet. But you don't have to wait till you get there, man, to accomplish there. You can start becoming that, man, right now. That's the gospel of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. That God's way of doing things, what God intended, written intent, and idea was to come back, and his way of doing that, and if you get in on that, then you can begin to be just like Adam and Eve was in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Become everything that God say, you are. Everything that God say, you can do. And having everything that God said, you can have what? Dominion over all your circumstance, situation, and symptoms in your life. Not over one another, but over your kingdom. What's a kingdom? Come from two words, a king's domain. The word domain is a territory. King, that's kingdom. What is a kingdom? Kingdom is a territory over which a king has governing power and authority, sovereign reign over territory, impacting it with the will of God, the desire of God, the intent of God, producing men a citizenship, a citizen of people on the earth, man, expressing man the image and likeness of the Most High God, impacting men our territory with his will, his intent, his lifestyle, his culture, his way of doing things, man, on the earth. But that, boy, that's the kingdom of heaven on the earth, in us, in us. So what's your kingdom? That's your territory. What's your territory? That's your life. That's your life. That's your domain. Your life. Not nobody else's life. Your life. That's your territory which God gives you power and control and influence over. Your emotions, your attitude, all the negative things, everything that will come against you, man, in your life. I don't care, man, if it's inflicted, man, by people and everything else, or other people, or circumstances, or situations, or symptoms, or heartaches, or broken part of everything else. Because I give you dominion over everything. Everything that comes to steal, kill, and destroy my purpose and destiny for your life, I give you authority over. Hallelujah. I give you power and control over it. That's why Jesus said, I couldn't heal a broken heart. Well, I couldn't give you back power and control. All of you who are broken hearted, boy, that's good news, man. You don't have to be broken hearted no more. Yeah, but they did this, and he did that, and she did that, and everything. God, I don't care what, who or she or he or you, whatever done. I couldn't redeem your life from that destruction and bring you back into a mindset that you can have dominion over every circumstance, every situation, and every symptom in your life that had come to steal, kill, and destroy my original purpose and intent for your life, which is that it would be in your life, here on your earth, just like it is in God's life in heaven. Hallelujah. And like I told you, boy, they lost that. They lost that. And boy, God promised them something. And through Abraham, man, all the way up until Moses, man, let me tell you something, boy. Hey, God promised, they took Abraham to that promised land. Guess what? Abraham went there. He sojourned all the way to that land that was flowing with milk and honey. You know what happened, man? God told him to dwell there. But, man, through circumstance, situation, and symptoms, and a famine that came on the land, man, they left, man, that place, man, and went down into Egypt. When God told them to dwell in this place, I don't care what famine come, I don't care what circumstance, what situation, or what symptom come. Hey, man, I'm your father, I'm your source, I'm your sustainer. You think God wouldn't have took care of, man, Adam and Eve, them, man, or just like he took care of Cain, Abel, them, just like he took care of Noah, just like he took care of me. He would have took care of Adam, too. I mean, Abraham, too. You think he would have let Abraham, man, starve and died and ended, man, his way of doing things? No, Lord, I'm telling you, boy, he would have made a way where there ain't no way. But since they couldn't remain true to that administrative authority, now here God is again, man. He always has his grace and his mercy. He provided a way. So even, man, in their disobedience, man, they still, man, God still provided a way for them, man, through one of Jacob's sons, Joseph. But what would happen, man? They weren't in that place no more. They were down in Egypt, and God took care of them even in Egypt. Provided for them. Took care of them. Even when they've got, just like it did with Cain and with Abraham, just like it did, man, all the way up until Abraham, God was taking care of them. Even when the man Abraham and his descendants disobeyed and left the promised land, man, and went down into Egypt, God took care of him through that too. What did? I'm talking about God's grace and God's mercy been with us from the beginning, man, all the way up until for all eternity. But his grace. The religious world, man, it made grace of God, man, like it give us permission to sin. No, the grace of God, man, is God's willingness, man. God's willingness to never leave us and never forsake us. To be a very present help in our time of need. to redeem our lives from any kind of destruction. The more Abraham and his family, man, you know, sojourned down into Egypt, you know, that's dirty. And that's all in the book of Genesis. And then in the end of Genesis, man, you see where they are, we're all down in Egypt now. Instead of the promised land, they're in Egypt. Just like the world, just like the church. Instead of living in the, especially the church, just like those living men back in that place where God has restored us to, we still living, man, in and of this world system that we was born and conditioned and trained to think like. What world system is that? That's boy, the world that's up on this earth today. The arrangements, the patterns of operations, the systems that's up on this earth today. That's influenced and motivated, man, by a wicked angel who went bad and plunged our territory, the earth, into what it is here today. Listen, it ain't all evil on this earth. They got good and evil on this earth. But it ain't on this earth like it is in heaven. And God intends it for it to be on earth like it is in heaven. No evil at all. And let me tell you something, man. I don't care what no devil did. I don't care what the out of disobedience did. I don't care what you do or he do or she do or nobody else do. Man, it ain't going to stop God from fulfilling his eternal purpose and destiny for our lives. That's why I say it again, boy, you get in on what God is doing and you cease from your works and you enter into a work that's completed. The Bible says on the seventh day he rested from all his work. In other words, it's completed. That's where that scripture come in the Bible. It say, he who have begun a good work on the inside of us, he's going to complete that thing. What work he begin on the inside of us, boy? What he started in Genesis 1 and 2, that we would be in his image and his likeness, ruling and reigning on the earth forever and ever, being fruitful, multiplied, replenishing and subduing the earth, and making it on earth like it is in him. That's the work that he begun. Hallelujah. I ain't talking about our work that we begun down here for him. I'm talking about the work that he begun for us. That's the work, boy, that he not only going to complete, that's the work that he has completed. That's why he say, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. In fact, he said this here in Isaiah chapter 46. I'm going to show you that. All these idol gods that was and all that, I'm going to show you that they ain't nothing like me. Show me a God, man, that can finish with your life even before he starts. He said, listen, I finished first, and then I start. The very fact that I started Adam and Eve on this earth is indicating that what I already finished, man, what I already planned and purposed and destined for their life, that is already finished. The Bible says in Ephesians, boy, thanks be unto God, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly place, who chose us. Well, he chose us. We didn't choose this. This ain't what we doing. This is what he doing. Who chose us when? Before the foundation of the world. What he chose? That we would be holy. Hallelujah. Just like him. Pure in character, pure in nature. I ain't talking about him. I ain't talking about being a God of yourself. When I say you're a little God, I ain't, man, listen, don't people misunderstand me and say, hey, man, we ain't no God. How can we be a man? Listen. That's man, because of a lack of knowledge and a lack of understanding. Boy, he begun a work, man. That's the work that he begun. That we would be in his image and his likeness, ruling and reigning on the earth. And boy, it's in our territory, the earth, just like it is in his territory. And we living forever and ever and ever. In heaven, on earth. Not in the heaven where he dwells at. And if you don't know that and understand that, man, then you come up with your own concepts, your own pictured ideas of what this thing is all about. And that's why most people, man, even believers, Christians and Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists, man, all the different big four religions, man, that's the concept that they have, man. That when it's all said and done, man, we're going to go and live, man, in a place called hell. For hell and hell and hell and hell and hell. And that ain't what God doing. God, man, it created a place for us. It being our life here on the place that he created for us, just like it is in hell. So when it's all said and done, we ain't going to spend eternity in heaven with God. We're going to spend eternity in heaven on earth with God. We're going to spend eternity with God in heaven on earth. Not in his domain, not in his territory, You can't rule up there. You can't reign up there. That's his territory. Only place you can rule and reign the way he created you is on your territory, the earth, in your life, on this territory called earth. Two territories, what? Your life and this earth. Man, listen. They Adam and men went on down. You know the story. They went on down there, man. And after they go back down to Egypt again, God took care of men, and they began to prosper and grow so much. And the Bible say, boy, no, I mean Joseph and all that generation died off, man. You know. And listen, let me tell you something, man. They stayed down there for 430 years in that place. But man, for half of that time they was in that place, they wasn't no slaves. Not the whole 430 years. Man, listen, boy, they had the best piece of land, the land of Goshen, everything else, and all of these. Man, they lived good, man, when they first went down in there. Until generations passed, man, you know, 100, 200 years, man, of that 430 years. And then, man, you know, Joseph gone, the pharaohs that back then they gone and everything else, another pharaoh there. And, man, they grew so much and multiplied so much, man, that where the pharaoh did, man, he ain't know nothing about Joseph. They forgot about that, just like he had forgot about everything that happened, man, in 1600 century. You don't know nothing about that. Who was reigning, who was king, who lived in, or nothing like that. Same way happened with them. And, boy, I'm talking about they made slaves out of them. And then they made slaves out of them, man, you know. And then, man, that comes in Exodus. And in Exodus, boy, chapter 18, that's where God, man, delivered his children out of slavery. Even though, man, God had took them to that promised land, man, and they left out of that promised land, just like even today, God had provided that promised land for us, the church. But, man, we still, the majority of the church still wandering around in the wilderness. But all the time, man, the promised land, the Garden of Eden, the kingdom of heaven, is within our reach, is at hand. Jesus Christ brought it back to this earth. And instead of us giving in that place, man, we giving in the wilderness. And all the time, I say it again, boy, that place is available to us. The reason why most people live in the church living in the wilderness, because they think that place is in the sweet by and by. But all the time, that place is in the right here and now. So what happened, man? So, hey, man, you know, hey, God, man, remember this promise. I told you he ain't slack concerning his promises, man. And he heard the cries of his people, man, and through the next main character in the Bible after Abraham come Moses. And, man, God told Moses, man, you know the story. Hey, listen, I come down to set my people free so that I can bring them back to the promised land. They're going to come through the wilderness and worship me and adore me and thank me, man, for redeeming their lives from this slavery and destruction, man. And all the way, man, into the inheritance that I promised their forefather Abraham. Let me tell you, Lord, I'm telling you the story of the Bible, the message of the Bible, so that you can understand it. I'm trying to say it to you, man, I don't have enough time in this hour that we have in chronological order of the Bible. From innocence, that's Genesis chapter 1 and 2. From consciousness, that's from Genesis chapter 4 through Genesis, man, chapter 8. From human government, that's from Genesis chapter 9, man, all the way up until, man, Genesis chapter 12. From the dispensation of promise, that's from Genesis chapter 12 to Exodus, man, chapter 19. Then after that, man, come, man, when Moses delivered them out, and God began to deal with them, man, and God gave them the law of God. What laws of God, man? How to live in this place. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt, thou shalt. You know the Ten Commandments and the prophets. In other words, God was saying, hey, Moses, this is how you live until the original promise come back. What? Tell boy, I come myself in the person of that seed of the woman, man, and redeem your life, not from this type and shadow that all of the Old Testament consists of. But, man, I'm talking about, boy, what man God originally came on. See, let me tell you something. The Old Testament is types and shadows. The children of Israel, Pharaoh, were like the devil. Egypt was like this world system that we live in here on the earth. The children of Israel in bondage, man, were the type and the shadow of just like all of us, man, who are in bondage to the devil and enslaving, man, to this world system that we live in now. So all the Old Testament stuff, man, you know, that's types and shadows of things that was to come. The law that God gave Moses, man, you know, that was a type and a shadow of the original laws that God gave Adam and Eve, man, in the garden. They're just types and shadows. Why? Because they were no longer spiritual. They were spiritually dead. So God had to deal with them, man, with natural things, man, types and shadows of the original thing, but the spiritual thing of God. So God gave them the laws, and God, man, began to prophesy through the children of Israel. Boy, the main prophecy that all of them prophesy, I don't care what it is, man, every last one of them prophecy, they prophesied, the Lord, listen, there's coming a Messiah. There's coming one, boy, who's going to reestablish the kingdom of David back up on the earth and going to sit on the throne of David. Listen, that's a type and shout. But, man, you know, man, God is throwing us back to our kingship and our kingdom authority that he gave, man, us over, man, the whole earth. That he told Adam and Eve have dominion over this territory called earth. A type and shadow. And through, man, the law and the prophets, boy, you know the story, man. You know, Moses delivered them out. They went in the wilderness. Eventually, man, through Joshua, Joshua led them into their promised land. And, boy, they so joined it there, man, you know. All the way up until, boy, let me tell you something, the fullness of time. That's the all the way up, man. You know what? That period was from, man, Exodus chapter 20. I told you I'm trying to do this in chronological order because I need to understand it. Until the coming of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ came, boy, he was full of all of the original grace of God. And, man, I'm talking about he was full of grace and truth, reality. Not types and shadows, but reality of God's word. And, boy, when he came, hey, he began to proclaim one message. Listen, my time is up, y'all. I got 1 minute. We'll take it up next week. He began to proclaim one message, boy. All of the kingdom of heaven, that place that you lost, everything, all your sovereignty, your dominion, everything, I come to bring that back to you. Hallelujah. I'm going to cleanse you up, man, through one sacrifice, my blood sacrifice, and, man, enter you back into that place so that you could be restored back to that place. And, boy, that's what we live in right now. We live in, man, the fullness of the grace of God. All down through time, God was displaying his grace, but you and I live in the fullness of it. And what God desires for us to come to the knowledge of that and come on, man, through the wilderness, all the way across the Jordan River, into that place. How you get into that place, Arthur? Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord. When you pray, pray this word, man. How you want to get in that place? Say, Lord, listen, I've been taught all this and everything else, but teach me now, Lord, about your kingdom. Show me your kingdom, Lord. Show me your original will and your original intent. What you're doing, you're praying now. And if you ask, I guarantee you receive. You've been asking everything but that. You've been asking for houses and land and cars and healing and everything else. But if you ask God, man, to show you how to get back into his kingdom, to teach you about the kingdom, hey, if you ask, you'll receive. And then after you ask and receive it, now all you got to do is seek it and go after it and pursue it and find out about it and learn of it, boy. And if you seek, you will find. And every door that you knock on be open, man, and you will begin to enter into the kingdom of God. And from that place, man, get back into God's original plan and destiny for your life and start becoming who you already are. Listen, this is my message. All of the kingdom of heaven, that's what Jesus' message was, is available to you. And all you got to do is come on in. If you ask, you'll receive. Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, my wife, Gail, and I at Kingdom Life Fellowship Outreach Ministry, we love you with the love of the Lord. And we pray God's best for your life. If you'd like to contact us and we could be of any assistance in you growing in the grace of God, our contact number is area code 713-870-3776. Again, that contact number is 713-870-3776. We would love to hear from you. Hey, look, we look forward to talking to you again next week. If this ministry is a blessing to you, tell a friend about it and join in, and let's continue growing in the grace of God. Again, we love you with the love of the Lord and desire God's best for your life. His kingdom come and his will be done in your life here on earth, just like it is in heaven, so that you can know that you know that you know that everything is all right. Because you're in his hands. Thank you. We love you. And we pray again God's best for your life. Look forward to talking to you again next week. Bye-bye.
blessings to your life.